So, Sonia, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to follow the cuteness that we just had with puppies and quokkas and things like that, but I'll let you have a try.
Yeah, no, right. Aaron, I don't think anything is cuter than a quokka, but let me find an angle on this. I'm the kind of person who likes to look up at the clouds and find animal shapes. And sometimes there are quokkas and penguins and whatever up there. So let's take this discussion to the cloud with an Azure migration, that is. Please welcome my guest, Michael Frank.
Hey, Sonia.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing? Hey.
Yeah, not too bad.
So can you tell us a little bit about your role at Microsoft?
Sure. So I'm a principal customer engineer in the Fast Track for Azure team. We are part of the customer-facing arm of Azure Engineering and help our customers adopt Azure, as well as bridge the gap between the product groups, our customers, and the partners. Within the team itself, I'm leading a program called the Azure Migration Program in Australia and Asia, and I'm supporting customers with a large amount of workloads or complex environments to migrate all their workloads into Azure.
It's really great to hear that Microsoft has services to support that, because I think sometimes we oversimplify this move to the cloud. We say, just put it in the cloud, like that's an easy thing to do. And for a lot of our customers who have very large on-premises existing environments, or they've got complexity in there with either the infrastructure or their applications, it's a little bit daunting to make that cloud move. And so how you get there and how you do that in a way that is going to be easy to maintain it and operate it moving forward, as well as normally having to look after those on-prem resources maybe still as well, it can get a little bit complicated. And I know that that's a little bit daunting to take those steps. So if you were engaging with a customer and they were looking at shifting some of these workloads into the cloud, where would you get them to start?
I think, first of all, as technologists ourselves, I think it's really important to understand that it's not just a technology piece of work, right? If we're looking at the technology, our enterprise architecture, they had decades now to come up with very well-defined methodologies, frameworks, which now that we're proposing to move and change the platform are being challenged, right? So it really comes down to a lot of change that is happening when we're doing it, and that's all around the people, the processes, and the technology itself, right? But to get back to your questions itself, so we do actually have a lot of resources to start with Azure. One of the resources is the Azure Quick Start Center, which is a great place to start if you have a question about a specific service or want to get a very basic concept right. But if we are talking about Azure migration itself, I usually always recommend the Azure Cloud Adoption Framework, which is aka.ms/CAF, which is a framework that we do recommend when you go out and try your migration. It's a lot of proven guidance. It brings together all the cloud adoption best practices that we've seen from Microsoft employees, partners, and our customers, and it's really the best place to start.
So one of the things that we use as a term in terms of cloud migration is lift and shift. And again, it feels like a really easy couple of little words, but what's your perspective on what a lift and shift is? Is that the easiest way for us to get started in a cloud platform?
Usually it's where we see our larger customers start. I think that's right. The way how it sometimes is proposed is that we are able to just take your workloads that are in premises and we move it up as is into Azure, right? And that's certainly possible. What we are seeing is that in that situation, our customers would try and replicate the environment that they have on premises together with all the processes and with all the technology behind us, one-to-one in Azure, and then move the applications and the VMs up into Azure. So it's certainly a good way to start. Not the issue, but the thing that we need to always consider is that when you do that, you take all your processes and your people concept and everything with you, meaning that you are not really modernizing. You don't really take advantage of any of the new services or cloud native advantages in Azure when you do a lift and shift.
Yeah, and I think there's also sort of two different sides to this cloud move, right? If I'm going to have some cloud infrastructure and some applications up there, I'm going to need to make sure that they're monitored, that the right people have got access to them. Like all of those traditional things that I've done as an IT pro on-prem, I'm now having to include a cloud infrastructure and into that component as well. And then, of course, for an application development side of things, there is that, am I just going to copy it across in a VM and leave as is, or am I then going to explore some of the different options that I've now got available with those cloud services to modernize or refactor or ditch the application and go serverless? Like there are so many opportunities that opens. But I think starting at the beginning, and I understand that this is one of the steps in that cloud adoption framework, is getting those basics right. And we tend to go into a new environment with the understanding of how we've been doing things up until now. And so things like, how do I do group policy in the cloud? Like, how do I make sure data's backed up in the cloud? All of those things that I do on-prem that I need to figure out how I'm going to do them in the cloud. And then all of a sudden, I'm giving people access to develop on this platform that is costing me money as they use it. So I've got a whole new bunch of controls that I need to put into place to make sure that some of these cloud capabilities are a little bit reined in so I know they're secure, compliant, and cost efficient. Is that the kind of stuff that the cloud adoption framework is going to help me with?
Yes. But you covered so many different things right there in those sentences.
Choose your favorite.
So let's just start on the CAF, right? So the cloud adoption framework itself has a couple of steps. It helps you define your strategy, your cloud adoption strategy. It helps you plan your migration. It helps you getting ready, and it helps you adopting, migrating, and innovating on Azure as well, right? Across all those four phases, there is a government and a management lens applied to it, and those government and management lenses, they help you with your processes and all the things that you currently do and how to adopt that into Azure. But in the CAF, it really starts with getting the strategy right first, right? Like, what are your motivations to move into Azure? Define that. What are your justifications? What do you want to get out of that new platform, right? In the migration planning phase, we are starting to create a plan for the adoption, which does include the people component, right? Like, who do I need to upskill in the various areas? How do I need to upskill my developers? How do I need to upskill my operational team, right? We are also looking at a whole assessment of your current workloads, right? Both from a VM perspective as well as from a application perspective. And then we haven't even touched Azure yet. And now we're touching Azure and we're actually preparing the platform for your existing workload. So now that we know what type of workloads you have, we can look into how we are architecting and how we are creating and provisioning landing zones. And then the last step really is the migration itself and to innovate on Azure. And as I said earlier, across those four things, we always have the government and the management lens across.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about what should be the basics for an organization to start looking at in terms of that planning and strategy before they start touching Azure itself. Because as a technologist, I go, cool, there's this thing in the portal called Azure Migrate that I can just start moving stuff and I can spin up subscriptions and people can start creating VMs or using these services. So it is so darn easy to go and provision all this stuff. And I think sometimes we get carried away with how easy it is. And then we go, oh, hang on a minute. Now that I've had kind of this exponential growth because everybody's loving it, my resource groups are in a mess. Like my role-based access control, I haven't even thought of. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a bit of an explosion before you go, hang on a minute, I need to go back and kind of get some structure around this. So is that one of the things that organizations get wrong? Like, do they kind of ignore that part? And are there any other traps that you find organizations falling into?
Yeah, I think that trap of just go and do it, that's definitely there, especially because the tools nowadays are so advanced that you pretty much can just go grab something and throw it in there, right? But the danger in that is that you are, in the end, end up with an environment where you haven't applied all your governance and your management across that, right? So getting your basics right is definitely very important, right? The other interesting thing that people might get wrong at some stage is that they are solely focusing on the VMs itself and they're putting a VM lens on their migration. And Azure Migrate, when we look into it or when we use Azure Migrate, it will select a couple of VMs, and it will tell you this is how much CPU you're using, this is how much RAM you're using, right? But it abstracts that application point of view, and that's very important, right? Because we have people that are working with the applications that might have a existing build pipeline or other things that we as a migration party might not be aware of, right? So go and talk into the application team, making sure we understand the application architecture, making sure we understand how the developers work with the application is quite important. And that will also help us identifying what the best migration method is, right? Do I do a lift and shift, or do I ask the application team to modernize their deployment pipeline to go natively into Azure?
So it sounds like it's a little bit more complicated or complex than just a traditional architecture. And I know that this term gets thrown around that the cloud is just somebody else's data center, but it's not really about taking my existing environment architecture and planning as if I was adding in some more data center infrastructure, is it? Because we've got these other cloud services too.
Yeah, I think that's great, right? Like, because when you're thinking data center, and especially with an IT pro background, the first thing that you think about is networking, right? And again, we talked about how large organizations try to map their existing environment one-to-one into Azure, right? So on a networking side, that would mean on premises, we have DM sets, we have VLANs, we have different networking security zones. And the first thing that we see is customers trying to adopt that one-to-one and map that to Azure. That will work, and that is an extension of your data center, and that will enable you to move your VMs, and that's great, right? But that really should be seen as a version one of your cloud journey, right? We, like, if you're staying with networking, we do have concepts like software-defined networking in Azure. We have now virtual WAN and other places where we can modernize some of these old networking patterns, right? And maybe if we move the DM set, maybe go and publish the application via an app gateway instead of the traditional way via firewalls and those kind of things. So to summarize that it makes very, yes, it is a extension of your data center, but that should be seen as your first step. And then you're adding on all the goodness of the cloud that enable you to work just so much more agile and so much more cloud native.
Look, from a very geeky IT pro who loves her hardware, I had a great conversation with one of our cloud data center engineers. And even if you put aside the scale that we have to build for, it just really opened my eyes to how different cloud data center architecture is to what I'm used to as a traditional enterprise data center. It's actually really mind-blowing. So as well as the services from Microsoft with FastTrack, we actually have a lot of partners that are out there helping our customers adopt Azure and making these cloud migrations. What do you see as the opportunity for them? And what kinds of things do our partners need to be looking at when they engage with customers?
I think the biggest opportunity for the partners really to take the client by the hand and guide them on their journey, right? As we're saying, the data center extension, that should really be treated as a version one. And if there is a compelling event, such as your data center, your contract might run out, or we had a customer where the data center was on a fault line in New Zealand and they had to get out as quickly as possible, right? If that is the case, then yes, let's move them as quickly as possible, do a lift and shift and enable them to get into that version one, but don't stop there, right? And for our partners, it's then the opportunity to help them into version two, version three, version four, how to optimize all of this, as well as the version one, right? But just don't stop on the version one. Make sure you're continuing the journey with your client.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Look, if you ever see a fault line map of New Zealand, you'd wonder why anybody would live there. And I'm actually originally from Christchurch. And of course, like COVID-19 here for the world, the Christchurch earthquakes were a big forcing function to look at people being able to move some of their infrastructure because they could no longer get to their workplaces for a significant amount of time while that infrastructure was repaired. So great opportunity for our partners to engage with our customers and help them too. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on the main feed. It's been great to have you to chat.
Thank you, Sonia.
And remember, for more information on the Cloud Adoption Framework, visit aka.ms/CAF. Now, let's break.